grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Before I preach, let us exchange the Easter greeting, Alleluia, Christ is risen, the Lord is risen indeed, Alleluia. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Alleluia. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear friends, when you read the story of the first Easter day, as told by the Gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, one thing that is absolutely clear is that our Lord's disciples were not expecting his resurrection. The faithful women who went to the tomb very early in the morning on the first day of the week were only expecting to complete the process of embalming a corpse. And when they told the disciples what they had seen and what had in fact happened, the women's words seemed to the disciples an idle tale, and they did not believe. It seemed to be just too good to be true. Grief had simply devastated those who had loved and followed Jesus. In Jesus, those who followed him had seen the light of love, a depth of mercy and compassion, a tenderness and power to heal, a radiant holiness that unmasked the folly and futility of sin, a light of love that had transformed their lives. And if that light could indeed be destroyed, then those who loved Jesus and had been loved by him could only conclude that hatred is in fact stronger than love, that death is stronger than life, and this world's darkness more powerful than the light that is Jesus. For if that light could be extinguished, sealed in the darkness of the tomb, then all that would remain for Jesus' disciples, in fact, all that would remain for us, would be, if not utter darkness, then at best a twilight kind of life, consisting of a little affection and a little hatred, together with plenty of indifference, a twilight kind of life in which people become nothing more than heartless competitors with one another, and in the deepest sense, strangers to one another. A twilight kind of life that comes to its pitiful and finally tragic conclusion in the total darkness of the grave. Yes, in those terrible hours when Jesus lay dead and buried, his disciples hiding behind locked doors, it seemed as if the powers of death had indeed overcome the light. Note that I said it seemed as if the powers of darkness had overcome the light. For in reality, although hidden from mortal eyes, the victory had already, in fact, been won. For when all the powers of darkness unleash their hatred and fury on the Lord of love, love remained love. Father, forgive, Jesus prayed, and went on loving to the end. And so that terrible death, which looked like the utter defeat of this Lord of love, was in fact love's victory. On the cross, Jesus cried, that cry not of defeat, but of victory, it is finished. Love had won. For the sin that had separated us from our Maker is forgiven through Jesus' precious blood, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Satan's power to accuse our conscience is destroyed, and death itself has been vanquished, because God himself has descended into death and filled it with his love and light. As St. John writes in the marvelous prologue to his gospel, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. But on Good Friday, love's victory was hidden. On Easter, that victory is revealed, for Christ is risen. And because he is risen, we can now truly live, not in the twilight of indifference or in the darkness of despair, but in the joy and power of our risen Lord, whose we are through our baptism into his life-giving death and resurrection. It was John Mason Neal, that marvelous translator of hymns, one of which we will sing at the end of this service, who expressed this so beautifully in another of his hymns, when, with reference to our baptism into Christ, Dr. Neal wrote, "With Christ, we share a mystic grave. With Christ, we buried lie. But 'tis not in the darksome cave by mournful Calvary. The pure and bright baptismal flood entombs our nature's stain, new creatures from the cleansing wave. With Christ, we rise again." And so you and I live in the power of our baptismal union with Christ dead and risen, daily dying through contrition and repentance to our selfishness and fears, dying to everything that makes this world so narrow, so cold, and so cruel, and daily rising to that new life in which even frail earthen vessels like you and like me can ourselves become, however dimly, however fleetingly, the bearers of the light that dawned from the open tomb. Oh, the darkness is of course still there, both around us and, more distressingly, within us. But that darkness within is forgiven through the cleansing blood of Jesus, and no darkness of grief or pain can ever finally overcome the light of the risen Lord. For by his death, he has destroyed death, and so has made of death God's strange way of bringing us, his beloved children, to the final victory, to the unending joy of that heavenly city, which has no need of sun or moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb who once died for us, but now is risen from the dead and lives and reigns forever and ever. That Lamb truly present with his holy body and precious blood, in this blessed sacrament, which is not only the sure seal of the forgiveness of sins, but also the pledge of the resurrection of the body and of our place at the marriage supper of the Lamb with all his saints in light. As St. John wrote, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia, alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.